Welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned to the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse number 30, our Lord giving another aspect of the kingdom by virtue of another parable that he's given. Again, a parable is used the using of things that we know very about in this life, things very common to us, principles that are very common to us. And by those, our Lord shows us and tells us about things spiritual, things in regards, especially at this point and in this particular case, about his kingdom. He says in verse 30, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? So what is there that I can give you as an example that tells you about the kingdom of God? Or what is there that we can take the kingdom of God and compare it to that you might understand? And he says, how about a grain of mustard seed? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. So again, seed being sown in prepared ground. And when it is sown, verse 32, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. In other places in the gospel, and we mentioned this last time, that if we would have, our Lord says, if we would have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we would judge a mustard seed to not be much. I like mustard, but you can't use a whole lot of mustard ongoing, can you? And that little seed is so small, I understand, you even have to have a magnifying glass to really deal with it well. It's so very small. It speaks to us, and our Lord says, about faith. Faith that is not estimated by the world to be much at all. But faith in our Lord Jesus, again, there's always an object to faith, either a thing or a person. A faith is always based. Faith does not stand alone. It's always directed or based upon a thing or a person. Faith in our Lord Jesus has grown up into a great kingdom. A kingdom that the rulers of this world have tried to defeat. The Roman Empire in the 4th century tried to push down this, of following this Jesus of Nazareth. This Jesus of Nazareth, who his disciples claimed that he lived, died, was buried, and rose again because he is the Son of God. He is God come in the flesh. They tried to destroy it. They crucified and burned millions of Christians, those that followed after the Lord Jesus. They gave their lives. They would not recant against their Savior. They would not deny him, but were faithful unto death. And this kingdom of our Lord was greater than that great Roman Empire, so much so that Constantine at that point decided in his mind and in his way, it was not for anything good, but to join them. That old adage, if you can't beat them, join them. The kingdom of God is great. The Bible, the most published book in the world, and it's so prolific and continues to be. Faith in our Lord, it grows up into a great, great kingdom. It's by repentance and faith that our Lord saves sinners, and they become aware of the kingdom. You remember what the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, unless you're born again, You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To know and to see that there is the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus rules and reigns over all, and his great purpose and plan is at work. And by the world, it's estimated as being nothing. But in the eyes of God, it is great and mighty indeed. The scripture says in Mark 4:32, "But when it is sown, this little mustard seed, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs." It's the greatest. "And shooteth out great branches." Okay? It has standing. It has place. It has purpose. It has strength. This great mystery, this great kingdom of our Lord, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So what happens when there's anything good, when there's anything great? What happens? Well, there's always going to be, whenever the good work of God is at hand, this kingdom growing up, these sinners being saved by the Lord and added to his family, this working of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches all over this globe and for many centuries since our Lord Jesus was here, what happens when there's something good that comes? When in this old world, there's always that comes around and seeks to mess it up. The birds, the greatness of this kingdom is such that it has, is far reaching and has great strength. And you know what? The fowls of the air come and lodge under the shadow of it. The fowls of the air in the scripture always represent that which is evil. You remember what the Lord said earlier in the chapter. He said, "Seed that is sown on the wayside," okay, "is devoured by the fowls of the air." When he gave explanation to that, to his disciples in verse number 15, he said, "But these are they by the wayside when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So even in this chapter, the birds are representative of Satan and evil work. What happens when there's the good work of God? What happens when the kingdom of the Lord is prospering? Something very small as a mustard seed grows into a great tree with great branches. There's always that wants to come and defile. There's always that wants to come in opposition. There's always that. What happens when fowls, when birds come and roost for the night? Anybody that's dealt with chickens understands what happens to a chicken roost. Anybody that's dealt with birds or maybe hunted turkeys or that, they understand what happens with a chicken roost. When in the spring and in the fall, when many of the blackbirds and different kinds of birds we see across our fields, they gather together and they come and they lodge in a tree for the night. Oh, woe is you if you parked your car under that tree. By their dung and their nastiness, they just foul the whole place, don't they? Interesting that we would use that word. They foul the area. "When it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches." It's far-reaching, strong. The world didn't think so. The religious world didn't think so. But the Lord is at hand. It's his work. "So that the fowls of the air may come and lodge under the shadow of it." They come to get like those ravening wolves that are promised by our Lord, like those ravening wolves that are promised by the Apostle Paul. They'll come in and look to devour the church. They'll look to come in and take advantage of the people of God, to harry them and harass them and weary them in their following and service and worship of their Lord. We live in that kind of day, and may our Lord help us. In verse 33, the scripture goes on and says, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it." And so the Lord knows when we need to hear certain things. "But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." What a blessing it is in our day that we have this good word of God. In the day of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the day of his ministry, he taught in parables. But in this day, after the fact of the coming of our Lord, our brethren were inspired by our Lord. It's his directive, it's his work to not only write the parables, but to write the explanations. We have that. In that day, the multitudes did not have that. Only the disciples had that. But we as his disciples and others that would look on and have a desire to understand about the Bible and its purpose and what our Lord says in it, about what their need is in the Lord Jesus Christ and many other things, we have the explanation of the parables right here. What a blessing. In our land presently, we're able to freely look into this book and see what our Lord says and to be instructed by him, and not only to hear the parable, but to hear the explanation and of them, like our Lord gave to his disciples in that day. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And our Lord expounds all things to us that we need to know in his good word. In verse number 35, the scripture says, "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." And he's speaking about the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." And so they had these ships, these boats, and he's traveling across to another place. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And as he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Our Lord Jesus is great. And there's much in this passage to be seen. First off, these men that are here with the Lord, maybe not all of the disciples, maybe not Matthew, who was a tax collector, a publican, but many of these brethren, Peter and Andrew, James and John, they were fishermen and they knew the Sea of Galilee. They had been raised up on this sea and they had learned the trade of fishing from their father. They had seen good weather and they had seen tumultuous weather. They had seen many things. They knew how to handle a ship, a boat. They knew what to do. But this storm was great. And it says here that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. They had seen many things, maybe even had escaped many things, but this, I believe, was probably the greatest of all the storms that they had ever seen on Galilee. And they are fearful. They are at their end. And our Lord takes this opportunity and deals with them about who he is. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.